right. Hello and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I am your host, Chris Haley. You know, if you were hazy on the last name, that's me. And I am here today with my friend Jess.
Hi. Hey, buddy.
That's Jess's new catchphrase.
My new thing when I don't remember your name. Everybody's a buddy.
Well, thankfully, I just told you what my name was, so you can remember. And we just got done seeing, it's been a little bit longer now, actually. It's been a few minutes, but we just got done seeing X-Men Apocalypse. And we're going to talk about that and life and stuff and whatever else. So before we get started, Jess.
Yes.
Let's introduce people to you. So explain to the people, to the good listeners, what makes you such a special and unique snowflake? To borrow a phrase from Liz.
I am a liquid pusher. I push uppers and downers.
Right.
I am a dog mom and a fat cat mom.
I don't think you've got a fat cat anymore. I think you've got a football with tiny legs at this point. A furry.
But you know what, though? I honestly think that she's not fat. She's just very, very thick, you know? I'm serious, because she's always laying on her back all the time. And whenever, like, you call her, she sits up. I think she's been doing so many crunches that she's just super thick. Because okay. When you touch her, she's not jiggly. She's very
solid. No, she's
solid.
Very solid, which
very
is
solid.
Why I say she feels like a football.
Yeah, like, oh, she definitely is. She's...
It's a little unsettling, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. She eats way more than I do. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, so you've got animals you're mistreating going for you.
Or I'm overly treating them.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't think that's bad.
No. I mean, I've seen you with those animals. You seem to be...
A good person.
Yeah.
I try. I do the best I can. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Thanks for coming. I hope everyone had a good time. Don't forget to listen to the show and subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on... Anyway. So we saw X-Men, and now that you've explained... because, you know, since you listen to the show, you know that I'm trying to only have great people on here. So you have to really try to come correct when when I invite you on here. So, you and I have known each other for a while now.
Yeah.
And, but really the thing that bonded us was you came to one of my birthday parties. And, look, I don't have to get into it. I'm just saying you came to one of my birthday parties and, It was a fun party. In the midst of
it was a joint birthday party.
Yeah, it was for me and Sam, who mm-hmm. people will remember from the Civil War episode. And also that one episode of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which you can listen to on Fridays, Fatality Fridays. I hope you guys can appreciate just how sleepy I am as we're doing this. We went and saw X-Men Apocalypse at the premiere 7 o'clock earliest possible showing. And what was it, like an hour and a half into the movie, all of a sudden the power went out.
It just quit.
Yeah, the movie just stopped. Everything, it just like quit. But the power didn't go out because you could... The lights were still on, like the little house
runner lights.
Yeah, the runner lights and stuff. That the exit light was still on, all that stuff. But the movie just completely blacked out, and at a really kind of odd moment where you could kind of go, "Boy, that was a weird ending." But then it turned out something happened where all the movies cut out.
I wonder if it was just our, like...
Just our theater?
The Paradiso, or if it was, like, all Malco... What is the place?
Malco, yeah, just, like, that's the chain. Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought it was, like, remember how we were talking it before?
The Fathom Events thing? Yeah, I know too much about the Fathom Events schedule.
You know too much about... Well, you see a lot of movies.
I try to see. I mean, but mostly just comic book movies.
I appreciate how informed you are.
Thank you. It's nice that someone says that every once in a while. So, that put, and it was off for quite a while. It was like a fun little bit of panic in the room as people.
Yeah, it was definitely at least 15 minutes.
That seemed like longer than that, because then it was like 10 o'clock when we got out of the movie. So I don't know how long this movie was supposed to be, but it turned into a 3-hour movie.
150 minutes. I think that's what it was supposed to be.
Wow. Well, that's pretty long. Mm-hmm. But that did put an interesting little wrinkle into the night's experience. But you said you liked the intermission.
I do. I appreciate intermissions. I once went to see Harry Potter. It was the the one where they're doing the contests and stuff.
The Goblet of Fire. That's the one, I think, where they have the Tri-Wizard.
Yes, that one. Something. We went and saw it in this really teeny tiny town in North Carolina. We were on vacation for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I think that's about the time that it came out.
Yeah, all of them except for like the last two came out in like holidays time.
Yeah. It was either Thanksgiving or it was around Christmas, one of those two, because that's the only times that my family comes together for yeah, holidays, right. like Americans
like most
do,
families.
Like
yeah.
most Americans. Yeah. It had gotten to the point where all the schools were showing up, and then it just turned off. And then, like, this cute little sign pops up on the screen and was like, brief intermission. And it was like 30 minutes. I was like, what do we do?
I'm not used to this. Yeah. Yeah. There's like a little theater. Well, this is what I started to tell you at the movies. And then I was like, oh, I'll probably save this for later. There's a little theater that would go to in like this small town in Arkansas where some of my family lives, and like they just put intermissions into the movies. They're like, oh, now's a good time for everyone to come back out to the snack bar.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it because you don't want to miss anything.
Right.
Also, with these movies getting longer and longer, you're digesting so much information, you know? It's like,
okay,
maybe you need to think about it.
Maybe you need a breather
maybe,
in the middle.
Yeah, maybe you need to reflect on what you just watched.
I think that the filmmakers might argue that you're kind of wrecking the momentum of the story and the flow that they've been working to build. I mean, it's because it's not like in the past when all movies had intermissions and, you know, the filmmakers were like, here's where we're going to put one. We know that it's going to lead up to this. And then we'll put in the intermission. Mm-hmm. So I think that some filmmakers might argue that. But also most theaters don't put intermissions in. So it's probably not that big a concern. But kudos to you, super small town theaters who are trying to stay in business by forcing people to have another chance to go to the snack bar. That's smart, you know?
It worked. Yeah. I mean, almost everybody got up and did something.
People,
you know?
It was so great in there when you said, like, it cut out and it was out for like 10 seconds or something, and immediately all of a sudden the place just starts lighting up with phones. It's like,
yeah,
everyone is so important.
Yeah,
so important,
so much going on that they can't miss.
Yeah, that it was also, it's so great seeing what people are just rushing to get on their phones and check.
Well, I recently saw this article about Snapchat and how it's keeping people like up to date, but like keeping them separate from what's really going on, because they're not like in the moment of their own lives. They're in the moment of somebody else's life,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that really resonated with me because I don't have Snapchat, you know?
Right.
And I feel sometimes disconnected. Like it was supposed to be a cute little article and I just turned it negative in my mind. But
it doesn't sound like a cute article. I mean, it sounds like
these kids got together because of Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Like some college somewhere where this kid was wearing a jersey and this girl saw it and she was like, I love you, I think you're amazing. And then
just
like,
from seeing,
well, I'm sure that there was something else going on, but okay, I wasn't really paying attention to that.
Okay.
But they eventually met up, and like the whole point of the article was the fact that all these kids were stopping what they were doing to constantly refresh to see if the kid in the jersey and the girl met up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And how it like really affected some people. And mm-hmm. I was like, it didn't really affect you.
Yeah.
Like, that
well,
matter.
But you know, people like a kind of a romantic story. And it's funny that you brought that up because we have those two people here today and you're going to meet. What if I just all of a sudden turned this into a thing where it's like, oh,
like surprise guest.
Yeah. Surprise guest. That's what I need to start doing. I guess it won't be much of a surprise now.
Especially given the times that you're doing podcasts. Because in the Civil War, right? Wasn't Sam sleepy?
Yes, Sam was very sleepy. And so was I. That one, well...
I think you're always sleepy.
I'm generally tired. Yeah, that's fair. I don't sleep enough. I think that's the main problem.
I don't think any of us really do.
And it's interesting that it's, you know, some people seem to be getting enough sleep for like what you would think is required, but are still tired. And I'm not being if you guys could have seen, she was trying to hold back a laugh. But I wasn't being a smart aleck or anything. Anyway, so none of that is what we were here to talk about. So let me ask you first, as we talk about the X-Men movie, and listeners, I will tell you guys, this is probably going to be pretty spoiler heavy. And since the movie has not been out long at the point when this is being released, if you don't want things spoiled, maybe wait until you've seen it to listen to this. Or if you just don't care about spoilers, then listen to your heart's content. So let me first ask you what your previous experience and relationship with the X-Men is.
I never read the comics.
Okay, get out.
That's not to say that I don't appreciate them.
Yeah.
And,
no, I know you like comics.
I just recently got into them.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring out what I
like. You've got other stuff you're into too. I mean, it's fine for people to have different hobbies.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding time for things.
For any hobbies.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of time in the day. Because
you are waking people up and putting people to bed with your various liquids.
My various liquids. All of which are legal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one is coffee and one is adult
beverages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there illegal liquids?
I feel like... There
surely,
are.
Surely.
Surely there are. Surely. So as a kid, I watched the animated X-Men, and I loved it. I think Beast and Storm were my favorites.
Okay.
They were the coolest. Like, they were the funniest, too. Beast was the funniest, in my opinion.
No, that's fine.
So I watched that.
Who did you identify with the most out of said X-Men from that show?
I didn't really think of it like that. Okay. I didn't really...
The only reason I ask is because, just before we started, we were watching Bob's Burgers, and you were talking about who you related to in that show, and I thought maybe that's like a, you know, you always kind of have your characters that you lean more towards. It's like, this is who I see a little bit of myself in, or...
I guess as a child, I wasn't so self-absorbed.
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess if I was going to try and say that I identified with either one of them or any of them, it would be Rogue, because I've always had like a crush on Rogue.
Yeah.
She's just always been so cool, and her hair is so cool.
I could really
always
see you with having that like white streak in
your
hair. Yeah.
I wish. I totally wish. But bleaching my hair is real hard. I'm pretty positive I've watched all of the X-Men movies.
Like, out of the 9 X-Men movies, you think you've seen them all?
I think so. I have a hard time remembering them because I don't always watch them more than once.
Okay.
You know, I remember parts.
Now you have no problem remembering your favorite movie, Mystery Men.
It's not. It's not.
Oh,
my
I'm sorry.
Favorite.
No. You're right. I'm sorry. Your favorite actor, Dane
no,
Cook.
That's not what happened. Okay. That is not what happened.
While we were waiting for the movie to start back, or was it after the movie? No,
it was
after the movie.
It was during the intermission.
No, it was after the movie because it was when the credits were going, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. See, I can't remember anything.
Yeah, so Dan, or Daniel to you folks, I'm the only one he likes apparently to call him Dan. That's probably not true. He was just being nice. Who you guys will know from the last episode of the I've Got to Beat More Combat Annihilation podcast, was also at the movies with us. And I don't know what brought it up, but at some point the two of you just both started... Well, first you started...
Oh, there was a mystery man.
Oh, yeah.
Character.
Or it was mysterious
man. Oh, yeah. Mysterious man.
Something like that.
And, you were like, well, who was the mysterious man? I was like, I don't know. It was a mystery.
And then
we started laughing about mystery men and how awesome it is.
But
and
Dane Cook is your favorite character.
He's not my favorite character. It just stands out to me because I really love Waffles.
You did his entire like soliloquy complete with song and dance in the theater. I mean, you didn't leave your seat, but you were definitely, you were getting
I did his motions and everything. Yeah. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah, I definitely did. Waffle Man. It's funny to me.
Okay. I don't recall it. I know I've seen that movie at some point, but I just, for whatever reason, it did not stick with me very well.
We'll watch it later.
Okay. Not later tonight, later in our lives.
Yeah, later on in our lives.
Yeah. Why did I bring that up? Okay, so you said, because you remember Waffle Man, but you're not sure which of the X-Men movies you've seen. So there's X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And from 2000. Pretty sure.
What happens in that one?
You meet the X-Men.
Wolverine
comes to the place. He and Rogue both go to the X-Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Xavier's school for gifted youngsters. And then you meet, Magneto and Sabretooth and Toad, and then they fight in the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Definitely. Yes, I've definitely seen that one.
All right, then X2, X-Men United, is the second one, and it's the one where the first one with Nightcrawler, and
was it Willy Wonka? No, that's not Willy Wonka. What's his name? The one who played Nightcrawler in that movie?
Alan Cumming.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's not Willy Wonka.
No, he's not. Willy Wonka, Johnny Depp just like creeps me out. And Alan Cumming kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. I like him.
Yeah. I don't dislike him. He just has one of those like hypersexual vibes that I can't handle. X-Men Apocalypse was hypersexual. There was a lot of sexual tension, in my opinion.
Okay. Who do you feel like there was the most sexual tension between? Or who were the characters that there was clear sexual tension between?
Professor X and everybody.
Yeah, he was like a little bit of a creep in it. Not a creep, but I mean, a little bit like, take it easy.
Yeah,
take it easy,
Chuck. Yeah, and definitely Apocalypse and everybody.
He's
at one point he's not even awake and he's like, ugh. And I couldn't handle it. I laughed a lot during this movie. The whole movie really was lots
Fair
of
enough.
I felt like there were lots of puns in there that were not necessarily intended.
Okay.
But I'm also a child. So they were funny.
There was also, though, I think that you felt like there was a lot of sexual tension between Michael Fassbender and you.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Well, he's in that Iron Forge place, mm-hmm. and he's all sweaty and stuff. Ugh. God, just stop it.
Yeah, he is something else.
He's handsome.
He is handsome. I don't think that's handsome. That's doing injustice. He's very handsome, but he's also like, he really kind of, I feel like him being Magneto is so perfect because there's something that's kind of like magnetic about him just about Michael Fassbender in general. Like I see him in other movies and this is something, I don't think I've talked about this on the show. Maybe I did and don't remember it. Or maybe it got cut out. I can't remember. But I just recently, in the last couple of weeks, saw this movie that he was in called Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, oh, the one where he's got the head on. Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. I don't think it's...
It's a weird movie.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think younger listeners should...
Definitely not.
I think it's rated R. But it's not really rated R for anything bad.
I know. I think for younger listeners, they might not want to see Apocalypse either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to that. But it's sort of based on a true story, but it's like a fictionalized version of this real guy who the guy that wrote the movie was actually in a band with. And he's this guy who he's like a musician, and he's like really kind of weird and charismatic, but he's got this big paper mache head that he wears that he never takes off.
And it looks like a face.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. It's a big
like
head.
A weird. Yeah. It's not like a weird face or anything.
It's just like
a
normal,
just a normal
plain
face.
like a real, just really kind of plain face. But he, Michael Fassbender keeps that thing. I mean, he's the star of the movie and he keeps that thing on the entire movie. And you still are his acting. And it's like the face, like the expression never changes, you know, on the big head. And it's like, you still just in his like body language. And there is still something about him that's like still just
captivating.
Yes. Captivating. And like, he's still like, you go, oh, I can see he's still attractive. Like, he is still so charming.
Very magnetic.
Yes, exactly. He's still like so charming and just, you get like that. It feels like there's something coming off of him. You're just like, I would totally, if this guy started, was like, hey, do you want to come live out in this terrible little cottage and for 11 months and work on a record with
me? Weird music with me?
Make super bizarre music. I'd be like,
it was good though. I was into it. Yeah.
Oh, as soon as the movie was over, I had to go buy the soundtrack. Oh, I was like, immediately got online and bought the soundtrack. And like, I couldn't get it out of my head. I must have listened to that I Love You All song 1,000 times. And I kept wanting to use it for music in the show. And I was just like, I don't think
anybody's going to get it.
Yeah. Well, and I was just like, that song by itself doesn't have the same power if you haven't seen all of the story to go with it. And so then because the song is right at the very end, and it's like, so then after you've been through all this with them, and there's this is really just like the Michael Fassbender podcast now, which I would be fine with. You get to the end and it's like, you've gone through this whole, you know, journey with these characters, and man, then that song just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah, I definitely cried, but I've been crying a lot lately. Getting older has made me emotional.
Oh, you're so old.
I'm serious.
You're so old. What do you feel like? Well, we can talk about life and stuff then. What do you feel like getting older has taught you that's changing the way you're looking at some things? Before we talk about X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, I mostly just don't feel like crying is okay, like, but now I'm accepting it just because it keeps happening.
Right.
I just keep crying all the time. I definitely cried during Apocalypse.
What?
I'm serious. I did. Well, spoiler, when he was like, my babies.
Oh, wow. That was,
oh my god. He was hurting and I was hurting. And then there was another part
that was pretty rough.
Yeah, it was very.
Oh my god!
For
when
me.
He started singing in that, though, it's like then Frank was all I could think about. I was like, oh, how can you be so handsome and so good at acting and have such a good singing voice?
It's like, well, that's Hugh Jackman too.
I've never heard him sing. I know he does a lot of Broadway stuff, but like,
he's great.
I've never heard him sing.
He's great. He's in that one movie where it's very romantic and they're singing to each other and.
Which X-Men is that? Is that Wolverine Origins? Because
no,
I haven't seen that one.
I don't know. It's one of those movies that I watched when I was a kid. It probably isn't even him.
Yeah. It's like someone completely.
It's probably not him that I'm thinking of.
So continuing through the X-Men stuff, now that we've gotten you to talk about crying.
Yeah. I cry a lot.
Why did you think that crying was not okay before? Was it how you were? Was it like crying not allowed in your family, or
no? It's not that. It's just, you know, it's very vulnerable, and I don't like to feel vulnerable.
I mean,
in front of
what
people.
If you're just alone?
Well, I mean, I definitely cry by myself, but at the same time, it's so exhausting sometimes.
Yeah.
To cry.
For sure.
And most of the time, yeah, definitely. Most of the time when I cry, it's like it's been built up.
Right.
You know, and I cry for so long and so hard, you know, and I just get so tired from it that I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And one of the like major events in my life is I lost somebody that was kind of close to me. Like, we weren't together at the time, but
Prince.
Yeah, I lost Prince, and I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. I cried for days.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, I never want to cry again. And I have just been really good at holding it in, mm-hmm. except during movies. Like, movies always hit me hard.
Can I tell you a story about yet another friendship thing in common we have? So there was a period in my life when I was a little younger than you. But
currently?
Yeah, a little younger than you currently. I was not younger than you at the time because you were much younger then. But I was kind of having a similar thing where there was like all this stuff going on in my life that it was awful. There were just things going on, but it's like it was kind of like I couldn't process it. Just, it was basically like I was going through like at that point, the worst year of my life. And, just, there'd kind of been like a number of things, and in retrospect, some of it feels like a little silly. But at the time, obviously it felt really pressing, it felt very real and important and not silly at the time. But, and I found myself where the only places where I've, like, without realizing it, it was like the only places where so much of my feelings and emotions just kind of like would just kind of shut down. And it's just like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to process this. So we're just going to be like, everything just gets dialed down and you're just, there's no highs or lows. It's just, mm-hmm. you feel kind of below normal, but there's not a lot of movement.
You're just in like go mode.
Yeah. Just, it's just, things are happening.
Like cruise.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's almost feeling like you're just sort of like a passenger in your own body and someone mm-hmm. else is just kind of driving and you're looking around and watching the things happening to you and around you and nothing really feels real.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did not have the emotional, vocabulary yet to know how to cope with some of that stuff and how to deal with it or even how to recognize what some of the effect some of the things were having on me. But then I noticed that like I started going to the movies a lot more and partly because there was just like, there was a lot of movies coming out that happened to be things mm-hmm. like where people were like, let's go see this. Movie going was a very popular thing at that point in my sort of circle of friends, I guess. And there was like, I just found myself really, really like all of a sudden I was being super emotionally affected by movies and scenes in movies where I was like, I don't feel like this is how much I don't feel like they intended for this to affect me this heavily. Like I should not be crying this much during Spider-Man. You know what I mean? I was like, but there's the first time I saw that first Spider-Man movie, there was so many points during it that like I cried. And some of it was like,
I mean, it is real heavy when his uncle dies.
Yeah. Well, and that definitely, but there's like on the part when like when Aunt May is like, stuff's going bad for her and it's like everything is just,
I mean, it's very real.
No, like, there is some, there's definitely some real stuff in there, but there was also parts where I realized like I was letting other emotions come out too, but it would just like, I would be like kind of overwhelmed with like, oh, this is so great. It's Spider-Man. There's really a Spider-Man movie happening. Yeah. Like, and look, it seems like Spider-Man. And I was letting all these, I was crying cause I was just like overwhelmed with like, this is so neat. And then also like Lord of the Rings movie, just stuff where you're like, that no one else in here is crying, right? You know what I mean?
How about Finding Nemo, the very beginning? I cried for the longest time.
Well, I think you and a lot of other people cried during Finding. I think that was very emotionally moving. But it was weird. I would find myself crying in parts in movies where it's like, this is not, sweetie, you don't have to cry about this. Like the movie should, like I felt like at any moment the movie was just going to stop and go like, hey, you okay?
It's okay, buddy.
It's just a movie. It's all right, bud. But I was like really, without realizing it, I was like all these, I was making connections and things in my own life, and it was kind of coming out, or I was seeing those connections in the movie and it's like the stuff was coming to me and it was like kind of letting me, which is kind of a great thing that movies are, I'm sure, to a lot of people. It's like a place where you can escape or where you can sort of let it out and it feels like it's safe and okay to do it. Cause it's like, hey, I'm not crying about all the bad things in my life. crying about this sad thing that's happening in Spider-Man's life, you know? So, you know, I think that that's, you know, and I didn't intend for us to talk about all of this, but I think that's one of those things. It's like why movies mean a lot, you know? And it's like, so when we go see these movies and then we have a lot to say about them afterwards, or, you know, we want to discuss them or we want to talk about what it means to us or like what our thoughts are and all that stuff. I think that that is some kind of like a, you know, it is a kind of, I don't want to say therapy, but you know, it is, or it's cathartic, or there's, there's something to it that is more than just, it's not, it doesn't have to be art, but it also isn't just pointless. So all of that to say, have you seen X-Men 3? The X-Men Last 3. Stand. That's the one where they come up with a cure for mutants. And then they have a fight in San Francisco, and Frasier is Beast, and Mystique gets her powers taken away. Oh, spoilers for all the other X-Men movies too. We're gonna be running through those.
BT dubs. is that?
That's the one where Jean Grey had died. She died in the second one.
Okay. Okay. Wait. She dies at the end of the second one?
Yes.
Right?
And then she like comes back in the lake in the third
and
one.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Right, and she comes back in the third one and she doesn't know who she is, right?
No, she knows who she is, but she's also, she's like a little off.
Right, and that's the one where she like becomes like the Phoenix or whatever. Yes. Yes, I saw that one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was the one where she was like, where Wolverine was like totally into her and practically killing himself to try and like keep her from killing everybody else.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, in the context of the time that they've actually known each other, which they put that in there in the movie, well, spoilers, they have retconned in a even more important reason for the two of them to have some kind of connection, which maybe it was just me, but that scene seemed really creepy.
The one in the little bunker thing?
Yeah, when it's like the two of them are like just looking into each other's eyes and you're like, oh, he's going to have a crush on her later. Yeah.
Dude, right?
Yeah.
And she's practically a baby.
Yeah, she is a literal baby.
Honestly, seriously, I don't know how old Wolverine is.
Well, like, in the comics, like if you, you know, well, he's obviously,
Well, because I mean, he travels back in time at some point. So then like,
does... That's in the future. In that movie. Okay,
so... Wait.
He was born in the 1800s.
So are there more than one Wolverine at a time then? No. Why not? Because if he traveled back in time...
The way that the time travel in Days of Future Past works is Kitty Pryde is able to send his mind from then back into his old body.
You're totally right. Yeah. I remember that now. I do remember that.
So what about X-Men Origins Wolverine? Have you seen that one? That's the one.
Is that the one where you, doesn't that have Deadpool in it?
It has,
Deadpool.
It has, even though it was also played by Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Yes, that's the one. That's the only X-Men movie I haven't seen because of how terrible it is.
How do you know it's terrible if you haven't seen
because it? Because Corey told me how bad it was.
I mean,
and I trust his opinion, but also besides Corey, also
it was pretty bad.
Every other living person has told me how bad it was. And I mean, I've seen parts of it, but it just even like, it looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
What about, X-Men First Class? That's the one with Kevin Bacon.
Yes. I definitely saw that one. Okay. I didn't like it. So I only saw it
2011
once. Yeah. I only saw it the one time.
Okay. Yeah. Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't like how they were redoing all the movies, you know?
Fair enough.
It gets to a point where I get confused. Like, I have no idea what's going on or, like, in what reality this X-Men is, you know? And, like, which realm of X-Men we're in, you know? Because
which portal after, they've used.
Yeah, exactly. After the Origins one with Wolverine, I was like, what the?
That movie basically just doesn't exist anymore.
I didn't know what happening.
Days of Future Past, which you've seen that one. Mm-hmm. That was the last one. Days of Future Past was basically a way for them, with the time travel in that, was a way for them to kind of get rid, to change the timeline and get rid of some things that didn't make sense. Like, so X-Men 3. Movies? Yeah, like last X-Men 3 is gone now. And what actually, they probably changed the stuff on the
X-Men first two 3, movies the too. One where she hulks out and like phoenixes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's done. That didn't happen.
Okay. Because I remember them making fun of that in this. An apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, that was a fun little joke.
And I liked how she still turned into a phoenix.
Of course, that's the only trick.
Is that
they
her
have
thing?
Her
yeah. Like in the comics too? Okay, I had no idea.
Oh yeah, that's like the thing everyone's always waiting.
If it for wasn't her in the do. Cartoon, I had nothing.
But that did
no
happen
idea.
In the cartoon.
Did it?
Yeah.
I have the worst You'll have memory.
To, yeah, I guess so. For the show that you loved so much, but
I didn't.
You were paying attention to Beast and Storm. You were not worried about Jean Grey so much.
Yeah, no.
So you saw that one. Did you see The Wolverine, which is the one where he goes to Japan and it's pretty good. He goes to Japan and gets his adamantium pulled out.
And, yeah, and he's all bones instead. Yeah, okay. I saw that one.
Well, then you've seen, I guess you've seen all of them. Mm-hmm. Good job. Oh, and you've seen Deadpool.
Yep, and I saw Deadpool.
Which of the ones that you've seen, and now that you've seen Apocalypse, which of them was your favorite?
Including Deadpool?
Yes, including Deadpool.
Well, I mean, I really liked Deadpool.
Yeah,
I really
great.
Liked it. It was hilarious and and raunchy in all the good ways, you know. And I mean, I just wanted to be in there.
I was so impressed with like how well that movie balanced all of that stuff. That like, but it never felt like. It still felt like it had heart the whole time, mm-hmm. you know, which was not what I was expecting. I was so pleasantly surprised by that movie. I was just going expecting to be like, oh, I'm sure this will be fun. But then I was like, they did a great job, mm-hmm. Which I'm sure they were waiting to hear. Now it can be said. I'm sure they can finally rest easy knowing that I thought they
that
did
it
a
was
good
great.
Job.
Chris Haley approved.
Yeah. So Deadpool, what after Deadpool? Not counting Deadpool, what was your favorite?
Well, I don't really remember too much of the first three X-Men.
Okay.
So I guess I really liked First Class.
Mm-hmm. You just said you didn't like it.
Before. Oh, not First Class. What's the
Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a hard time remembering these names. Yeah, that one. Yeah. I liked that one. Because I like the guy who plays Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me laugh, like, even when he's not supposed to be, you know? Like, especially when he was in...
James McAvoy.
Yeah, when he was in Wanted, he's
oh,
got that
yeah.
good, like, fake shake down real good. And it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
Yeah.
He was good in that Narnia movie.
Was he the goat?
Yeah, he was the satyr. Mr. Tumnus, I think is his name.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked that first Narnia movie. I know they did a couple more, but I didn't see them.
I didn't see them either.
Yeah. They kind of lost
I read the
after
books. They
one.
Were all long.
So what did you think of X-Men Apocalypse? Because I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of
yeah.
fun. It was kind of weird. And I think this was the first X-Men movie where I was going, you guys have got too many characters. Like, I know that part of the point and the fun of the X-Men is having a lot of characters, but this was, I think, the first one where they were trying to deal with just a few too many people's stories. They were trying to introduce so many people and kind of, like, give everyone something to do and, like, have, like, a point, you know, this and that. And it's like, this was the first one, I think, where, and even as long as this movie was, I still was like, this feels a little undercooked, certain parts of this. But I still really enjoyed it and like thought it was a totally fun movie that I would, you know, I'd go see that again.
Well, after having seen Captain America Civil War, I didn't think that there were too many characters.
Okay.
Because I felt like in that movie, there were too many characters. But that's also because I didn't know a lot of them.
Right.
You know, I don't know all of the characters in X-Men Apocalypse, but it just seems like they are expanding towards putting more people
right.
to focus on and making it less about
oh, for sure.
particular people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to everyone doesn't have to be about Wolverine. And this is the first one really that was not just
I didn't think that he was necessary. You know, honestly, yeah. whenever the cage part was opening, I thought it was going to be the Juggernaut. Like, that's what I felt like. It just sounded to me like that was who it was going to be.
But he's not like an animal.
No, like you're right. Wolverine. You're right. You're right. You're totally right. And whenever it showed him, I was like, ugh, of course, that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't think that he was necessary.
No, not at all. But it was a neat little, you know, it was just a neat little thing.
That, I wonder how much he gets paid for his tiny little cameos.
I don't know. That one, I mean, that one was more than a cameo.
Because like, it was longer than just like a little, you know, clip. Yeah.
Like in First Class, that's a cameo. Because he's just sitting in that bar and they come in and he tells them he's not interested in no uncertain terms. But in this one, you know, he had to get,
I mean,
in that goofy costume and, you know, or lack thereof.
And murder all of those people.
Do all those fight stuff and be running around just in his short shorts. So I think, and, you know, he had a whole little scene. It's basically an extended cameo, but I thought it was kind of like a neat.
Well, I don't know what they're planning on doing with that later on. He's doing one more
Wolverine movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then.
How many is this? Like number 7?
Well, this will be, he's been in the first 3, and then X-Men Origins, and then The Wolverine. And then if you count that second and First Class and then Days of Future Past and then this one, and then so the next Wolverine movie will be his 9th outing as Wolverine.
Jeez Louise.
But you know, good for him.
Yeah.
How many
times?
Awesome.
How many movies have I been in? 0.
No, I was just gonna say how many times has Robert Downey Jr. been Tony Stark at this point? Mm. You know, he's done a bunch of those too. It's fine. But So what did you think of the movie?
Well, I went into it thinking that it was going to be bad. Just because once it gets to this point where there are so many, I feel like they just keep getting worse. You know, in my personal opinion. And also, when we ran into Kurt at the comic book store, and he just seemed so against it, I was like, it's got to be bad then.
No, he just said, you know, he said he had heard that some of the reviews had been really bad.
Yeah.
And, which I don't really care about reviews. It's like, I'll make up my own mind.
Yeah. Well, I also didn't hear much about it until I was like that day that I met up with you had heard that Apocalypse was coming out this week.
Right.
And
I had completely forgotten about it until you said something about it.
Yeah, and I watched two trailers for it, and I was like, I don't even remember seeing a trailer for this before this day. When was that, Monday?
Something I think so, like that. Something like that.
Yeah. So until Monday, I had no idea about it. No, it was Wednesday.
Now, you said something about it before Wednesday. It doesn't matter.
None of this really matters.
All of this will get cut out.
So I didn't think that it was going to be that great because I didn't hear very much about it. I didn't hear positive things from Kurt or from you. You didn't really say much.
I'm going to go see it regardless.
But it was actually really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It made me laugh and I cried and I didn't leave it thinking like, well, that was a waste of my time.
Right.
You know, even when the movie cut out, I didn't feel like I wasted my time.
I thought that actually, I kind of liked that the movie cutting out because it just made the experience a little more memorable. It made the experience a little more memorable.
Oh, ba-dum-tsh.
Side note,
for my birthday, I want to learn how to play the drum intro to the Phil Collins song.
In the Air Tonight?
Yeah. I want to learn how to do that. My friend plays the drums, and I asked him for my birthday, could he teach me that?
Yeah. That's a neat drum thing.
That's all I want to know, though. Just that.
You just want to be able to go, like, if there's drums around.
Yeah, exactly.
And just, you can break it out at a party or something, be like, oh, hey, can I, do you mind? And then you just...
Or just, like, do something really crappy over there.
And no one expects you to know how to do anything.
And then do the whole, I had my sticks in the wrong hand.
Oh, hold on, here we go. Yeah. That's pretty funny. So now, I think right when the movie was over, I think you said something to the effect, or maybe it was when the first, when the power went out, but you were like, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
So what are some of your questions? And let's see if I can answer them.
Okay.
Well, first, before we do this, never mind. I'll cut that out. So what were some of your questions?
Okay. So if Apocalypse was supposed to be like God or Jesus or whatever, was, isn't that what they were,
no,
like,
they were
getting
saying,
at, that he's been called by like many names, and he was supposed to be like a savior or something, and
they were,
that they got the four horsemen from like him, like the Bible got the four horsemen from him.
They never mentioned Jesus. He was buried when Jesus was happening.
You're right. Yeah. That's true.
Because it says this, that part with him where he gets buried is taking place in like 400 BCE. So yeah, that's hundreds of years before the Jesus times.
Okay, then that question doesn't even matter.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool, cool, cool.
What's
your next question? I'm glad I could solve that one
for you. Yeah, seriously, like real quick.
I'm one for one.
The one that I asked Daniel.
Right.
How could Quicksilver possibly have known that was it the plane that blew up?
Yeah.
The bomber plane blew up?
Right.
And was able to save all of those people. I mean, I don't doubt that he could save all of them, but how could he possibly have known
I totally have an answer for this. So.
Okay, go.
So first of all, that part was probably like the highlight of the movie.
It was so funny.
I love that
he saved the goldfish.
Yeah, I loved everything about that part. And it's so hilarious to think about how before Days of Future Past came out, and there was kind of like the rush between the two competing Quicksilvers, you know, because you've got him in that one, and then you've also, he was going to be in Avengers 2. Or Avengers Age of Ultron.
I didn't see that.
What?
Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, it's okay that you didn't see it. I know that those are not your jam.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like X-Men more than I like...
The Avengers?
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't realize that until now.
Until just now. But when, you know, the first... Like, when the promotional pictures were coming out of the two, Quicksilvers and... You know, everyone was cracking on how stupid the X-Men one looked. And I think he still does kind of look a little silly with that, like, wig. Like, it's so obviously a wig.
I thought it just looked like he got one of those Walgreens, like, hair paint spray cans and just sprayed his hair with
it. It's a wig. And it's like, in this one, it seemed like it was an even worse wig. Like, the way that it was sitting in the back was just, like, irritating me. Just because it looked like a wig. And I was like, is this not a multi-million dollar movie? Do we not have somebody in hair and makeup trying to make this guy look like he's actually got this kind of hair? But that scene, you know, with him, the part with him in Days of Future Past was great. But then in this, he's just like, he stole the show. Just absolutely amazing, that whole scene. And he's just like, all the little stuff they worked in with him doing all the little bits. And yeah, he's just great. To answer your question, though, so the way it works when you're a person with super speed is you know how in moments of, you know, like when your adrenaline kicks in, something's happening and people say, you know, something crazy happened or something, they were about to get in a wreck or something, and it felt like time slowed down, kind of. Well, what that is your adrenaline is making your brain suddenly pay attention to everything so much more sharply. And so there's so much stuff that our senses are normally just like programmed to filter out so we can function, you know, and get through our day just without being focused on every little thing. But so what happens is when your brain kicks into that, you know, and it feels like everything's slowed down, when you've got someone, and that's just for normal people, you know, so when you take someone who's got super speed and all of a sudden something, you know, like all of their reflexes, and especially with, you know, these people who are like really, really fast, as soon as they're like, you know, something is going to like raise their alert, you know, it kicks in to where for them, it just feels like the whole world slows down. And then they're like, oh, okay, something's clearly happening here. I'm responding to it so fast. It's like my body is responding to it as, you know, instinctually, like reflexively before I even know what's going on. And so then he, you know, that kind of kicks in, his body automatically does it. And he's like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go check this out.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense to me because he wasn't even near the house.
Yeah, he was right outside.
Was outside the house, but like the
he was right outside the house down there and had stopped. But I mean, that's clearly that an explosion that would blow up that entire place like that. Like, I mean, you saw the crater that left, which, I mean, that's a little dubious in and of itself that, like, one jet engine could blow up that entire place so thoroughly.
Yeah.
Especially, like, a place, you know, with underground bunkers and stuff like that. But, you know, whatever. I guess it's a very special jet engine. the way that, you know, that would blow... For it to be that big of an explosion, you know, you're going to feel that for miles around. So he had, you know, run up and just, boy, it's sure a lucky coincidence that he happened to get there just in time for that to happen. Because if he had been a minute or two
later,
everyone would be dead.
Oh, movies.
So, do you feel like that answers your question?
Yeah, it does.
I mean,
it could also just be like intuition, you know, like when you feel things are about to happen.
I'm just using like the kind of, that's definitely the kind of thing that they would, I mean, as someone who has been reading Flash comics his entire life, that is, I feel very strongly that that's the kind of answer they would give you for an official answer. And they've, I mean, because also obviously they've done lots of stuff in the comics where, they've had ones where like Flash, somebody's trying to assassinate him or something, and like he's like just talking and someone's like with a sniper rifle off, like about to shoot him, and they shoot him, but it's like the nanosecond, you know, that the bullet hits the back of his head or something, just that first picosecond that it hits his head, his body kicks into like, oh wait, why is everything in slow motion?
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, oh my God. You know, he turns around and sees that there's a bullet hanging in the air that had just started to touch him. You know, your body kicks in before you, you know, it's just like how you blink. Your body reflexively blinks faster than you have time to like actually think about, oh, I need to blink.
Right.
Because something's coming at my eye. This dirt I'm about to throw in your eye.
That makes sense.
So I think that would be the writer's official answer.
Yeah.
I mean, and you saw my screenwriting credit on.
Yeah. I definitely did. It said at the Chris Daly.
Did you have any other questions? That you can remember?
I guess I just didn't realize the history of all the X-Men, or like if there really is a history of the X-Men.
Too much history of the X-Men.
I mean, because like Storm is looking up to Mystique, but on these other movies and shows and stuff, they're enemies and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, the timeline all got changed. That's why they're...
I guess I just get confused.
It doesn't really add up.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And I mean, how if...
You just kind of got to roll with it, like that, okay, they're changing some stuff because they want to keep making these movies and the old cast is too old to still seem like young people. So you just, it's just kind of the thing where you got to go like, oh, okay, none of them had ever met or heard of Wolverine before, but now here they are meeting him.
Yeah.
And the same deal with like Mystique and...
Like, do you guys just not remember?
Yeah.
Y'all met in this hallway a really long time ago?
Well, that they've had all these adventures with Magneto before. And then in that first X-Men movie, they were like, what's a Magneto? Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do we just forget that?
No,
like...
you just got to kind of go like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the way of the making movies about characters that don't have to age because they're fictional. Yeah.
I feel like these X-Men movies should be just like people... mutant people with powers and feelings that change their minds. that's what I feel like they should be called, because like in this movie they change their minds like twice, you know, about how they felt about the situations.
Right.
Like, how many times can Magneto decide like, you know what, screw you guys, I'm gonna kill all of you, and then be like, wait, I actually do care. No, wait. No, I don't. Screw all you guys. I don't care.
Well, you know, things happen in people's lives that kind of, you know, that's true to life. I mean, this is kind of played out on a bigger, more, you know, crazy superpowers scale, but stuff happens. People, you know, people change over the years. Something happened to them and it just kind of really changes their outlook on stuff. Or, you know, Magneto was clearly having a good, you know, normal, happy life.
A good time.
If those people hadn't been jerks, he would have just kept on going to work, being a normal guy, having a family that he was happy with. And man, then they really screwed that one up.
Yeah.
What else?
So when Scott has the bandages on his eyes, is he just keeping his eyes closed?
Yeah, he's just keeping them shut. That's just on there to help him make it easier that he doesn't have to be like concentrating on keeping them shut.
Then why bandages? Why not get like a cool like double eye patch?
That I couldn't tell you.
I mean, I guess a high school student eye patch
would look pretty stupid if you've got.
No way. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be hilarious. Exactly.
I mean, they're already being goofy.
He's having enough problems. He already feels like enough of a weirdo. It's like, oh, hey, let me take my handicap and make it hilarious.
Yeah.
Let me have people laughing at me. Guy's already clearly got some problems, some emotional issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm having a hard time remembering because I'm not in the moment anymore.
Right.
You know, it's been a little while. I will say, just like side note, I think if I were in a world like that, in any type of like world where somebody has powers, you know, like natural abilities to be better at, you know, things, I think I would be a bad person. Because their style is on point. I'm so serious. Like, he's like enhancing their powers and their wardrobes.
Oh, okay. This was something that I wanted to say to you while, like, when we first started to talk about it, and then I was like, no, don't. Like, this is one of the times when I had to go, like, oh, don't talk about this. Do you think that when, you know, because they made a point of showing that Apocalypse is like making them new outfits.
Yeah.
And like,
he's got to click out his posse, man.
Oh, for sure.
You have to all look alike.
I love his fashion sense. He clearly made them all look very cool.
You'd think he'd fix his face or something, though, you know? Or
he
like
thinks
make
he looks
it
good.
I mean, he had a dope mask whenever he first came, like when we were first
introduced
to him. I
don't want us not seeing Oscar Isaac's face, I guess.
But what was that rubbery stuff on his cheeks?
That's
though?
What
like,
he looks
was
like,
that,
man. Don't.
I'm not mad. I'm
just, don't shame
saying,
him for
like,
looking different.
He could have put on a hat.
So, what I wanted to say though was like, do you think that, you know, as he's making everybody's outfits, and it's like, you know, Storm's the first one, and she's got this cool outfit going. She's
dude,
like,
so cool, and very much like the.
It had a good feel like the comics. Yeah. And it's like, you know, she's got this cape and stuff and she's all looking cool. And then they, you know, they find Psylocke, you know, and then they find Angel, turn him into Archangel, and he's got the badass
knife,
metal, super
wings.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
I love that they were playing like metal, 80s metal music as he's getting turned into a living 80s metal, you know, album cover. So he does that, you know, and he gives Magneto like his, you know, kind of like a take on his outfit that's like cool, and gives him his helmet back and everything. And he's got Psylocke. And do you think that Psylocke, you know, she got her second, so she probably was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And then she sees everybody else's and goes like, hey, about my costume, do you think I could have like
less
more costume? Like,
I felt like she had way less though.
No, she did. That's what I'm saying. She was like, do you think she went back to Apocalypse and was like, hey, could I have like pants too? What do I have to have my butt hanging out? Do you think that at any point she was just like, hey, it'd be neat if I could have, because probably, you know, when it was just her and Storm, she's probably like, oh, okay, I look pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then like when she sees everybody else and she's like, how come everybody else is fully covered up and kind of armored out, and I'm got so much skin showing. I will say, though, I think that her costume looked awesome.
She looked amazing.
Yeah.
Especially when she was jumping off that building.
Yeah.
And I was like, my girl, you looking good.
I thought that she, since they showed the stuff with her, I was like, man, this is the best adaptation from the comics to the movie of costume of any of the X-Men movies. Like, that's the first one where it feels like, oh, she basically looks straight up exactly like the comics, you know, more or less. I mean, there's some little changes and stuff, but I was also thinking, like, she looks so cool. And I saw videos, like, way back when they were, like, shooting this movie, like, videos of her showing, like, all the fight practicing she was having to do, and it was like, clearly she was putting, like, a ton of work into doing all this fight and stuff, and, like, learning how to, you know, do these fight scenes and really, like, trying to do her own stunts and stuff, I guess. And it really felt like, even though this movie was pretty long, it felt like she was not in it very much. I think it was like she only had like 3 lines or something. I don't know. It felt kind of like a waste, especially, and it seemed like she was going to be a much bigger character, especially since she's someone that's like, oh, that's an actress I may recognize. You know, she's been in other stuff.
Well, I don't really mind that she wasn't in it so much, because the story wasn't really about her.
That's fair. But I mean, also, like, why? I don't know. I guess probably because they were like, oh, we'll set her up in this, and then she's going to be in another movie.
Yeah, maybe. Like, she's not really so prominent to the clique, you know? Like, I mean, Storm, she's eventually going to be with
the X-Men. Yeah,
with the X-Men.
Oh, and she was by the end of this. She was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I don't know. I think that Angel only had his part in it because he was fighting
Nightcrawler yeah.
so much.
Kind of a bummer, though, because, you know, in the comics, he's like one of the founding X-Men. And it's kind of a bummer to see him just go like, all right, we're done with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers, guys. He dies. to give you a break a little bit to maybe think of, if you had any more questions.
Wait. Going back to her wardrobe, though.
Oh, sure.
When we first meet her, when she's in that little black market for mutants, or like, I don't know.
I don't think it was for...
It was almost like an underground railroad for mutants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Storm.
No. What's her name?
Psylocke.
Her. She had on like... It seems like
Olivia
a
Munn.
Full suit,
yeah.
You know, and maybe she wanted less because she felt restricted.
That's fair.
In her full suit and
she
by
is a
that
ninja.
Guy,
yeah.
You know, and Apocalypse is like, I can get you out of this system,
yeah.
You know, out of these restraints that people are putting on
That's
you.
That's an interesting take on it, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So maybe she was like, I got a great body, let me show it off.
Yeah.
Look at what I can do, you know.
That's
Look
fair.
What I can do.
I can do. So do you want to try to answer some questions from Twitter?
Sure.
Okay. So at Coltreg asks, which X-person from the movies? See, it's funny though. X-person always makes me think of someone that's dead because they're an X-person. Which X-person from the movies would you want to make out with the most?
This movie or all the movies?
Well, let's say this movie first and then all of the movies second.
Okay, this movie, pretty much all of the female characters.
Okay.
All of them, because they were all beautiful. They were all really badass, you know.
Hold on. I do have to take one exception with this. Is the like this is my probably my biggest complaint in the movie was that the girl from Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, who's playing Jean Grey, seemed like a mannequin that had just barely come to life. She was straight up awful.
Okay.
I thought.
She had her moments.
She had a little bit of her moments, but it was like, there was times where she was like saying dialogue and I was like, this was the best take? Like, what?
Like in the helicopter?
Yeah, there was just stuff where she was... Yeah, oh, it was even
like,
worse here.
I feel everything.
It just sounded like so she was bland. Reading it for the first time. It wasn't... It's like, okay, but when we do a real take, you're going to act, right? You're not just going to read the words. And I was like, Bryan Singer is like a good actor's director, you know, from the other movies and, you know, from other movies of his that I've seen. And just from what you hear, it's like, it seems like he is a director who cares about the craft of acting and getting like a good performance. And I was just like, some of these kids' line deliveries, I was just flabbergasted by. And she was the worst, but she was not the only offender. But there's just points where I was like, what kind of emotion are we supposed to be reading on your completely blank, lifeless mannequin face? And I mean, and I wanted to like her. And the thing that's weird is, like, I feel like she's good on Game of Thrones. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones. I don't think you do. Yeah. Because you watch Walking Dead instead.
We all have our shows.
Yeah, no, hey, it's great. I think, you know, they're both shows. but she's like, she's good on that. I mean, and so it's like, it's not like she's just terrible.
Maybe she's just being real bland as a person because she's going through so much, like in her mind, that she's trying to like keep it real. Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe she's doing exactly like what we were talking about with our emotions, not knowing how to deal with them. Maybe. That she's just in cruise and her cruise is real, real boring, you know, to the point where Professor X is like, help me. And like, obviously is dying and she's just staring at him like,
oh no.
What do I do with it? You know?
It irked me a little that it was like, you had a good scene with him where he's saying, like, he's having that moment with her. He's like, Jean, you got to help me. Like, just let go. Just, be brave and powerful and, like, you can do it. And I was like, yeah, perfect. And then it's like, they kept having him repeat it. And I was like, you guys got it the first time. We were right there with you. Just stuff like that has started to irk me in movies where it's like, you went past the point. So all of the female characters in this one.
Yeah, because I mean, even
female characters over Michael Fassbender.
I mean,
hey, no wrong answers. I'm just asking because he was the only one who it felt like you had such a
he's beautiful
visceral reaction to when he came on screen.
Yeah, he's beautiful. But I don't feel like he was empowered.
Okay.
By Apocalypse. I felt like the women, the females who were supposed to be bad were super empowered, and then the ones who were good were already empowered.
Right.
You know? And I was just like super into that.
Okay.
Totally into that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence can give me a speech all day. All day. Tell me that I need to stand up and fight for stuff all day. And I'll be like, yes, girl, let's go.
Let's do that.
Let's go do that. Can I hug you first?
Can I hug your
hug you and see where this goes?
Can I first? Hug your pseudo naked blue self? What so who from all of them?
All of the movies?
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, I mean,
I know it's tough.
I would still say a lot of the females, but definitely not Rogue. Like, just don't touch me. Don't touch me. I don't want to die. I don't know. I've always been really attracted to the older Jean Grey.
Same. That's my pick.
Oh man.
I've got such a thing for her. Yeah.
Like, when like everybody's going through all these like emotional conflicts of like who likes her the most, that was me. I liked her the most. I was like, you guys just like step aside because I can show her all of the love that she really needs.
Okay. I mean, there's just something about her that I was like from those X-Men movies, and like she was in GoldenEye and she was in I Spy, and just I was like, man, and she's so good and like powerful, and there's just something very very cool about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, at Finn M. Roberts asks, How did freaking Quicksilver, of all people, become the best character in the X-Men movies?
One, he listens to great music.
Yeah.
Two, he kills it at Ms. Pac-Man. How many people do you know that can kill it at Ms. Pac-Man? Three, I don't know, he's just real funny. I dig a sense of humor, you know? So if I were the one,
he's got such a good attitude in the midst of all this insanity that's happening around him. Yeah,
with all his daddy issues, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna put my daddy issues aside, and save these people, and be like,
Do you think it might have worked better if he had said something? Do you think it might have helped Magneto
Yeah, maybe like a second sooner. Yeah, maybe. Or he might have just been like, "What? What the what?"
Yeah, like all the stuff just starts falling down, and he's like, "Whoa, whoa."
Yeah.
Or it might have made him really mad. It might have been like, "What? This is a trick. You're lying to me. I don't trust you now.
Yeah.
You're trying to manipulate me. I don't have a son."
Yeah, maybe, you know, that intuition that
we played it right.
Came out.
Because, like, it worked out.
Yeah, it did. It worked out really well. And I don't feel like he needed to tell him. Yeah. You know?
They can save that for
later. Yeah, he's old enough that it's like,
yeah.
You know, you feel good.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's got to be like almost in his 30s or something now, since been 10 years since that last movie, and he was supposed to be, I guess, like a teenager or something in that one, or maybe in his early 20s in that one.
Yeah. Oh, so one of my other questions.
Right.
You know, he got his leg broken.
Right.
Right. Is he still going to be able to run as fast? Yeah. Or I mean, is it just going to be like, he's just going to be like
and he heals
a millisecond
real quick too.
Slower?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to talk to someone who is like a runner who has broken a leg and then come back from it. But I'm sure he's still going to be plenty fast.
Okay, I worry about that.
That's kind of you. That shows your empathy abilities. You're like, I'm really worried about his leg there.
I mean, that's his thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. At Lokified asks, if you had an X-Men team, what would be the preceding adjective on the front of the comic? Now, I have an answer for this that has been an answer I've been waiting to give since like junior high or something. But since you may not be familiar with why he's asking this question, I'll tell you that the original X-Men comic was called The Uncanny X-Men. Mm-hmm. And then since then, there's been like The Astonishing X-Men. And, like, the names of the comic has been, you know, The Astonishing X-Men, The Astounding X-Men, The New X-Men, that kind of thing. There's been a lot of descriptive adjectives put in front of The Extraordinary X-Men, The Kind of Okay X-Men. What would the X-Men team that you lead, what would the descriptive adjective in front of X-Men be?
One word or a phrase?
No, one word. It's got to be the blank X-Men. Okay.
Exceptional X-Men.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Now, would it be X-ceptional, or would you spell it the traditional way?
Oh, my God. Of course. It would be exceptional persons.
Exceptional the exceptional persons?
Yeah.
Not the exceptional X-persons.
Yeah. Exceptional persons. Okay. Like, with a giant X. Persons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine would be the weird X-Men. Because when Corey and I were Corey and I went to school together all our lives, and like there was at one point in like one of our English classes, we had uncanny was like a vocabulary word. And the definition that they gave us in whatever this English class was weird. And just immediately from then on out, we just started like, oh yeah, just imagine how awful they would, how much weirder, you know, how much more like less like superheroes and more like monsters they would seem if they had been called the weird X-Men instead of the uncanny X-Men. So thank you so much at Lokified for asking that question, because I have been waiting to give that answer since I was in junior high. And then I remember there's even a point where I was like trying to draw out some of the character, like back in junior high, high school or whatever, was drawing out the characters that would make up the weird X-Men. It would be like all the people who were like too gross or like dumb, not dumb, but like too weird looking, too weird.
The ones who like sat alone. The one, on purpose.
Well, or just the ones that the regular team is like, hey, we're about to go on this mission. Why don't you guys just stay here? Make
Can
sure.
Can you
that,
clean the bathrooms or, real quick?
Could you guys just make sure nothing happens? You guys guard the mansion and the other students while we're gone, and we're gonna. Mm-hmm. And then it just shows the other X-Men at the mall. Mm-hmm. So thank you at Lokified for asking that. And this will be the last one. And I should have not made this the last one, because you're not going to understand this one either, but I'm just going to let you deal with it. At Stephen Ray Garza asks, would the movie be better if one of Apocalypse's horsemen was Steve Mongo McMichael? Hashtag, where is Pepe?
Okay, who is that?
Well, see, that's the... I'm not going to tell you. Just deal with it.
Okay. Hashtag, where is Pepe?
Yes.
I mean... This is a really was good... it... Okay, are we talking about the original Horseman, or are we talking about, like, the...
Just in this movie.
Second set
of Horseman. Okay, so this is a joke question. Because Steve Mongo McMichael was a football player,
mm-hmm.
who ended up... He became a...
Have you talked about this before on anything?
No.
You just know this
yes.
bit of information.
Well, I'm gonna...
I appreciate all the knowledge that you have.
Well, thank you.
Even if it is random.
Yeah. So Steve Mongo McMichael was a football player. I believe he played for the Chicago Bears. And he became a announcer, commentator on WCW wrestling. And but then he became a wrestler, because he's a big athletic guy. But when he was an announcer, he had a little chihuahua that he would have with him at the commentating booth, whose name was Pepe. And every week he'd be like in a different little outfit or something. And they'd have him like, I can hear your heart melting.
I am.
But so, and one of the groups that he was in while he was a wrestler was a group called the Four Horsemen. And that is why that's a...
Okay, I see. Well,
I'm going to say okay. No, this movie would not be better if you replaced any of the people in this movie.
Wait a minute.
With Steve Mongo McMahon.
I'm going to say yes, as long as he's got Pepe in a dope, bad
apocalypse
guy, apocalypse-style
outfit. Yeah.
Outfit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because, I mean...
Okay, if that's the case, then I'll agree with you. Who would you want them... Which of the four horsemen gets pulled out to be replaced with Steve Mongo McMichael and Pepe? Who are you gonna lose?
Storm.
Storm, really?
Yeah.
I
felt like she didn't really contribute to the Four Horsemen deal.
Yeah,
you know?
But then she kind of...
She did a little bit.
She played that crucial part of, you know, like, getting him to the other people, and of also like, oh, my hero.
Yeah.
I've gotta help them. I would have gotten rid of... I would swap out Angel, because he really didn't have anything to do. He had even less to do with the overall story, other than having that kind of like little rivalry with Nightcrawler.
True. But I really liked his little blade wings.
That was pretty awesome.
His blade wings were awesome.
It was,
and I felt like a lot of times when Storm... Maybe I just don't know enough about X-Men.
Right.
But I felt like a lot of times when she was doing her lightning stuff.
Her weather powers.
Yeah. That she was inside of a place. Like, I thought she had to be outside or be around the elements to affect that. You know, I felt like she was pretty inconsistent.
Okay. You know? That's fair. I get you. I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I think they can kind of...
I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can. I guess they can kind of make their own rules about it.
Yeah.
And you could say that maybe because, you know, Apocalypse is like really powered her up, that maybe she's got even more control or greater whatever over it now.
Okay. I don't recall Apocalypse having eyebrows. So
in the
why
movie?
Then? Yeah. So why then? When him and Professor X are about to mind meld.
Right.
Why does Professor X lose all of his hair? Which I'm so glad I finally now know.
That
why
was, yeah,
he
before
has
we
no
went
hair.
To the movie, you the other day you said that like the
that
main
the
question
main reason
you wanted to
why.
Know
yeah.
was
how does he lose his hair? How does he lose his hair? I now know
yeah.
why he can't walk.
Well, that's not Well, him not being able to walk is from the other movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That has been solved for me, like, as a child, seeing this person in a wheelchair. What's wrong with him? You know, why can't he walk? If he's got all these awesome powers, why can't he?
Well, he's just got telepathy.
Telepathy and empathy.
Okay, so yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so
then... Oh, but you were going to say... Well, you notice when Oscar Isaac, when they had him on the slab and Apocalypse was being transferred from the old guy into him, you notice his head was shaved. So,
So anyway, so eyebrows, they don't matter when it comes to being bald? Like,
oh, yeah, I guess not.
Apocalypse?
That's not where your brain really is. Your brain's more up here, I guess, and his brain was getting so overloaded. Yeah, kind of silly. But, I mean, I'm glad they at least made up some kind of reason for why suddenly... He's bald now when he's had this
thick head of rich,
luxurious hair.
And why Storm's hair is now white. Yeah.
You know, they're trying. Yeah. I appreciate that they're putting effort in, even if the, you know, result is kind of
Yeah,
silly.
I wish that they hadn't ruined that for me, like, with the previews then. You know, because this whole time I'm thinking... Like, why isn't he bald yet? Why isn't he bald yet?
I think you were like the only person in the world
that cared about that.
Yeah, who's worried about that. So, Jess, would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Just people in general, or people like X-Men? Or
I would, well, I mean, I guess it depends on how much you like X-Men. I tried to convince somebody to come with us, and they were like, nope.
No,
would rather die.
Yeah. So, you would recommend it?
Yeah.
Just in general. It's fun.
Yeah.
I would totally recommend it too, especially if you're the kind of person who's listening to this and cares about what people think of these kinds of movies. I totally recommend it. Honestly, I'm not sure what the criticisms... I haven't read any of the reviews, but I'm curious now to see what people... You know, what some of the critics' complaints were.
Maybe that they did too much.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's definitely not like without flaws and stuff, but, you know, most movies... That's most movies, you know,
yeah.
And I just chose to kind of take the fun stuff. I felt like they did a lot of stuff well, and it was a lot of fun.
I like how they poked at themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was good.
Jess, do you want to tell people where they can find you online? Do you want new people from this podcast to be following?
We can be friends. I love new friends.
Yeah, okay. So tell people where to find you.
It's at Jess_Ajoc, AJOC.
On Twitter.
On Instagram, it's just Jess. Jess is in Leet. So it's J355. You can also, if you want to meet me in person, find me at Relevant Roasters or Laughlin Yard, pushing them liquids.
Good deal. Okay, so people, that's now you know where to find Jess, see pictures.
On the internet and in real life.
Yeah, you can see pictures of her cute
beefy
dog.
Beefy cat.
And her beefy cat, yeah. Get her hot takes on Grizzlies basketball and other things on Twitter. See all the vines that
I love to retweet.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed this. If you've got any more X-Men questions or questions about anything else in general, send those to the show at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTMpodcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you to the people who have already written reviews and left us 5-star reviews. Thank you so much. Apparently that does help in how iTunes works. Somebody sent me a thing asking about putting the show on Stitcher, the Stitcher app. And just to answer your question, now that I've looked into it, it seems like Stitcher, if you put your show on them, they insert commercials into it that then they get money for. And if that's not exactly how Stitcher works, that's certainly how it seems like it works from the stuff that I read as I was trying to figure out how to get it put on there. So I don't know. Maybe that will happen in the future, but you can always just go and get the show straight from the website, keepitclosetome.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for telling your friends, retweets, all of those things that help us spread the word about the show. Hope you had a good time. And I feel like there's a thing that I usually say here at the end, but I can't remember what it is. So I guess I will just go. Oh, I know what it is. We'll just go and thank you for listening, and I'll leave you with this.
might be a little bit heavier, but Hogarth is way too fat to be Roxy's, like, immediate sibling. Maybe, like, a stepsister or something.